What's up, you beautiful bastards? Welcome back to the Philip DeFranco Show. Like the video, subscribe, because remember, a random person at the end of the month is going to be getting $5,000. But let's just jump into it. And the first thing that we're going to talk about today is that longtime YouTuber Boogie2988, aka Steven Williams, a lot of people also maybe know him as his Francis character, he was arrested today. And this because Boogie fired what he said was a warning shot with a gun when a man showed up to his home in Arkansas last September. The man in question there is Frank Hassel, a former YouTuber who was banned from the platform last summer and whose content often focused on harassing people in public. And so Frank was reportedly feuding with Boogie, blaming him for YouTube banning his channel. Where Boogie had previously said that Frank harassed and threatened him online before stalking him and driving up from another state to show up at his home. And as far as the incident, you had Boogie releasing footage after the incident. It shows Frank taunting him to come out with his weapon, as Boogie previously warned that he would do if he actually came to his home.
Come on, you what's the deal? Where's the gun at, you fat?
And then you have footage of Frank film showing Boogie warning that he was going to fire the gun, then actually doing it.
Is this what I have to do?
You fat. Oh my God. Is this real? Yes. Is this guy gonna kill me?
Yes. This easier to look at the air conditioner, Sam. Is this what I have to
You're
do?
You're a.
Is this what I have
Are you
to
gonna
do?
Shoot me in your doorway?
Yes.
You're deranged.
I'm asking you to leave. This is my home. You are not welcome here. You have threatened my life. I'm asking you to leave. In about 30 seconds, I'm gonna fire a warning shot.
Fire it now! Okay. Fire the warning shot now.
And actually, I'm not gonna be able to show the rest of the video here because I think YouTube's gonna use it as a reason to suppress or crack down on this video. But what we end up seeing in the video is Boogie actually firing what he refers to as a warning shot into the air. And again, saying, is this what we have to do? I'm asking you to leave. But then last Friday, we learned that a warrant for aggravated assault was ultimately issued against Boogie. We also started seeing rumors that he might be arrested soon. Around that time, he tweeted, thank you and anyone for support in this situation though. I'm gonna do the right thing and do it by the book. Glad to cooperate with authorities, heading home today to do so. Now, in court documents obtained by local news outlets, you have prosecutors saying, Boogie knowingly and under circumstances manifesting extreme indifference to the value of human life, purposely displays a firearm in such a manner that creates a substantial danger of death or serious physical injury, and adding that when he fired it, he was in a residential neighborhood, thereby manifesting an extreme indifference to the value of human life and creating a substantial danger of death of physical injury against the peace and dignity of the state of Arkansas. And so for now, we kind of just have to wait and see how this plays out. Boogie has been released on $5,000 bail. Also, if he ends up getting convicted, he faces up to 6 years in prison. And with everything going on here, I'd love to know your thoughts on this. Now that Steven Williams has been charged, what do you think should happen? Do you see this as justice being served, accountability, this should happen and he should face some sort of penalty? Or are you on the other side, that he did nothing wrong? He was someone that was being harassed and stalked, he made maybe be a poor decision, and he was just defending himself to make sure that he wasn't continually harassed in the future. And I'd really love to know your thoughts there, one, because it's an interesting story in its own right, but also two, it feels like a story like this has been a long time coming. Right? I mean, how many times just on this show have we had to cover YouTubers saying, don't come to my home?
Stop coming here, please. I don't want to have to move.
Don't show up to my house, please, don't.
I don't know who you are, but I know that you found my address online and thought, hey, I'm gonna invite myself over. From my perspective, that's just insane.
Please, don't come to my house.
When it comes to my own house, that's a breach of privacy.
I don't understand, because if I was a fan of somebody, I really would not show up at their house.
Please don't come to our house. Just please don't do it. There are so many other ways that you can connect with us that are appropriate and not, I don't know, wrong.
Also, for those who have been watching me for a while, I mean, just with the stuff I've shared, you know that I've had to deal with stuff where I've had to boost security in the past. Hell, I mean, there's even a story, I don't want to mention them by name because I get worried that they're going to have to deal with more harassment, but I mean, someone was actually stalked and the person ended up being killed by police. Well, there's numerous and different reasons that these people are showing up to these homes, all the way from, you know, socially unaware fan to I'm stalking and or harassing you or I'm going to do something bad to you. It keeps happening, and based off of the history that we've seen with mainstream celebrities having to deal with their own sort of stuff, I really don't see an end in sight. But yeah, that's the story, some of my thoughts on it, and of course I pass the question off to you here. And then let's talk about a story that starts with the incredibly sad and disturbing fact that the US Consumer Product Safety Commission had to tweet out from their verified account this morning, do not fill plastic bags with gasoline. Like, wow, and here's what I'll say. I don't know if this is actually happening on a meaningful scale right now. There are pictures and videos going around, but actually a lot of those are just being miscaptioned. But like, this video is from 2019, it's it's not connected to this situation. And this one is also from 2019, and it's actually from Mexico. But that said, I don't doubt that people are actually doing it, especially because people are sharing these older things, and then other people might be like, oh, that's a good idea. But yeah, it appears that this is connected to, you know, how earlier this week we talked about how the country's largest fuel pipeline was forced to shut down last Friday following a ransomware attack, right? That being Colonial Pipeline, which stretches from Texas to New York and supplies 45% of the East Coast fuel. Well, since we last talked, the governors of Florida, Virginia, North Carolina, and Georgia have all declared states of emergency to try to stave off shortages and keep gas prices down. However, with the pipeline now well into its sixth day of being mostly shut down, we've started seeing panic buying, and that panic buying has caused the national price average to finally break $3, which notably is the highest national average that we've had in 7 years. And, you know, if you've looked on social media, miscaptioned photos and videos aside, there are a ton showing how bad the situation is on the East Coast right now, with some people reportedly waiting as long as 5 hours to get gas, others also unintentionally making the situation worse, right? Panic buying, trying to top off mostly full tanks. We're also seeing a number of situations where tensions are running high, the situations are escalating. The first one that comes to mind is this one that was shared by a reporter this morning. It shows a woman trying to cut line, but when she couldn't, she gets out of her car, she hits another, then she spits on a man who then spits back at her, leading to a fight between the two. And so with all of that, you had over 1,000 gas stations in the Southeast running dry yesterday evening, with places like North Carolina having 8.5% of their stations out of gas, Virginia 7.7%. Also, wow, more than 20% of the stations were out of gas in the Atlanta metro area. Now, as of this morning, the problem has only grown. In fact, right, North Carolina, now nearly a quarter of all stations are out of gas, and that number even hit a whopping 71% in urban areas like Charlotte. And so when you put all of this together, that's why I have some analysts calling this a self-fulfilling prophecy, right, which I think to a certain degree is accurate. I mean, it's part of the reason why I even struggled this morning figuring out if it made sense to cover this story. It's a big national story. It's affecting everyday people's lives. It's an update to an incredibly important story we covered earlier this week, but this bigger thing about just security in general. But, you know, I don't think it's ridiculous to think that letting people know that there might be a shortage because people are scared there's going to be a shortage and so they're hoarding and so now others are hoarding. I mean, hell, it's the toilet paper panic that we had a year ago, but in a more meaningful way. But, I mean, that's part of the reason why anytime you cover the story, you have a lot of people saying, you know, please don't go out. Don't hoard gasoline. Please only fuel up if you absolutely need to. But then people are still going to have that voice in the back of their head going, well, at least 50% of people aren't going to listen to that instruction. We're going to have to see how that pans out. But as far as when we will get the pipeline back, Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm told reporters yesterday that Colonial should be able to make a decision on restarting operations by the end of today. Though, keep in mind, it is likely going to take several days for fuel supplies to return to a normal level after operations recover. So you have Colonial Pipeline officials saying they hope to restore service by the end of the week. But from that, I want to take a second to thank the fantastic sponsor of today's show, Bespoke Post. Bespoke Post is a monthly membership delivering awesome boxes of top shelf goods from boutique brands ranging from outdoor gear, barware, home and kitchen goods, and more. Something really cool is that Bespoke Post has purchased over $47 million from under-the-radar small businesses before the pandemic and will continue their support even after it ends. One of my favorites from them is the Aged Box, whose aging kit transforms your cocktail or unaged liquor into a perfectly mature drink in as little as 10 days. Another go-to of mine is their popular made-to-last weekender bag, built from thick, durable canvas with a heavy-duty reinforced frame, perfect for on-the-go. And the Terra Box for you outdoor types, when you're yanking out weeds from the garden, cutting fishing line, or hammering steaks at a campsite. This award-winning field knife is the ultimate tool. And every box has at least $70 in retail value, but costs only $45. And if you don't like the box, you can always swap it out for one of their many other amazing boxes. So just click that link down below, take the quiz to help them pick the right box for you, and get 20% off your first box when you enter in code DeFranco20 at checkout today. And finally, the last thing that we're going to talk about today is this absolutely crazy situation with Liz Cheney. And that's because this morning, the House GOP voted to remove Representative Liz Cheney, the number three Republican, from her leadership position over her refusal to stay silent about Trump's election lies. And while this is in no way surprising to anyone that's been paying attention to the outright liars and cowardice of members of the GOP, right, just regurgitating the president's lies or just allowing them to spread and uncontested, this is absolutely massive because it comes just 4 months after the former president, of course, incited the insurrection, causing major splits, it seemed at the time, in the GOP, right, that there might be this moment from reflection and accountability from Republicans and anyone that enabled this man to come into power. Even House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy seeming to blame Trump for what happened until he later walked that back. And now, with this latest move, it is arguably the strongest signal that Republicans have decided that it is not democracy, it is not America, it is about unwavering loyalty to Donald Trump. You can call it biased, but reality is biased against bullshit. I dislike members of both parties. I dislike things in both parties, but they are not equally wrong. Some would argue that has not been the case for a long time, but let's just speak about them now. In 2021, that is not the case. Also, for those that don't remember, this isn't even the first time the Republicans have tried to oust Liz Cheney. Right? Earlier this year, you had Trump loyalists in the chamber holding a vote to remove her after she voted to impeach Trump for his role in the insurrection, with them failing at that time largely because Cheney kept the backing of Republican leadership. But notably this time, she did not have the support of Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, who reportedly began mobilizing to remove her last week after she tweeted, "The 2020 presidential election was not stolen. Anyone who claims it was is spreading the big lie, turning their back on the rule of law, and poisoning our democratic system." And while Cheney has repeated that stance many times since January, I think that there was this belief from the GOP, especially after the vote that decided to keep her in, that she would kind of about face, that she would toe the party line. But that was something that she refused to do, which appeared to be the final straw. And so on Monday, you had McCarthy officially announcing that he was holding a vote on her in a letter to his conference that was full of contradictions, with his claiming that the GOP is a big tent party of free thought and debate, while simultaneously calling for the removal of a leader who broke with Trump and had the audacity to speak the truth. And this morning when they voted, it wasn't even close. They did a vote by voice, and that tells you everything you need to know. Right? There was that much of a majority in the Republican Party. This is who they are now. The mask is off, and hey, I understand it's not an election year right now, but this is important to see and remember and hold on to for 2022 and 2024. While I think many people rightly see 2020 as the year that people fought for democracy, this is not a fight that only happens election years. This is a constant battle, unfortunately. And that's one of the things that Liz Cheney hit on last night. Ahead of the anticipated vote, she gave this incredibly powerful and defiant speech, holding firm on her beliefs, speaking truth, continuing to condemn Trump's lies, and accusing her fellow Republicans of being complicit in undermining democracy.
Today, we face a threat America has never seen before. A former president who provoked a violent attack on this Capitol in an effort to steal the election, has resumed his aggressive effort to convince Americans that the election was stolen from him. He risks inciting further violence. Millions of Americans have been misled by the former president. They have heard only his words, but not the truth, as he continues to undermine our democratic process, sowing seeds of doubt about whether democracy really works at all. This is not about policy. This is not about partisanship. This is about our duty as Americans. Remaining silent and ignoring the lie emboldens the liar. I will not participate in that. I will not sit back and watch in silence while others lead our party down a path that abandons the rule of law and joins the former president's crusade to undermine our democracy.
With that parting speech unsurprisingly drawing boos from some of her Republican colleagues, with many Republicans cheering her ousting this morning. This, including Trump himself, who issued a series of statements calling Cheney a bitter, horrible human being and claiming that Republicans have a great opportunity today to rid themselves of a poor leader, a major Democrat talking point, a warmonger, and a person with absolutely no personality or heart. Also incredibly mature in political reactions like that of Madison Cawthorn. But I should also note that it was not completely universal. You did have a number of House Republicans condemning the move, like Representative Adam Kinzinger, who tweeted, "I predict that the history books of the future will not celebrate. They will say this was the low point of the Republican Party." As well as Representative Ken Buck, who told reporters Liz Cheney was canceled for speaking her mind, which was also echoed by a lot of people who argued that Republicans are constantly being hypocritical, tweeting, "Republicans bitch about cancel culture, but they're canceling Liz Cheney for speaking truth." Though it does not appear that Cheney is taking a break anytime soon. According to reports, sources have said that Cheney has spent the last week planning for increased travel and media appearances to promote her case and rally other Republicans behind her. Actually, I mean, kind of on that note, I mean, just yesterday you had the New York Times reporting that more than 100 current and former anti-Trump Republicans are preparing to release a letter this week threatening to split from the GOP and create a third party if changes are not made. Which, I mean, hypothetically, if that were to happen, that could be devastating for the Republicans' chances moving forward. But, I mean, right now, all the evidence is pointing to the fact that the party is firmly committed to embracing this pro-Trump stance. I mean, hell, McCarthy has tapped Representative Elise Stefanik to replace Cheney. And while, yes, when she was initially elected, she took office, she was a moderate who, actually defied and condemned Trump. She has now fully embraced Trump, likely after seeing how heavily he carried her district. I mean, she became Trump fan number one. Right? She was one of the most vocal opponents of his first impeachment. You had Trump promoting her, saying a new Republican star is born. And after that, she got way more TV appearances, campaign donations, general fame. And so naturally, she doubled down and began spreading Trump's false election claims. And so if she is elected to leadership, which is very expected, the top three House Republican leadership positions will all be held by people who voted not to certify Biden's win. And that is one of the key things here. Let me hit that again. The top three Republicans in the U.S. House of Representatives will all be lawmakers who actively voted to subvert democracy and the will of the people. But ultimately, with this story, and honestly, anything else that stood out to you today, I'd love to know your thoughts, because this brings us to the end of today's show. As always, thank you for watching, liking, subscribing, all the good stuff. Got more for you to watch right here or in the top description down below. But with that said, of course, as always, my name is Philip DeFranco. You've just been filled in. I love yo faces, and I'll see you tomorrow.